Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now in the studio is Brian Fogel, who prior to directing his first documentary feature, co-wrote and starred in the hit international and off-Broadway play, Jewtopia, and co-wrote and directed the feature film adaptation. He is the writer, director, and producer of a new film that opens tomorrow on Netflix, Icarus. Welcome to Background Briefing, Brian Fogel.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, sometimes people put themselves in their own movies for the wrong reasons. And they'll put their girlfriends in their movies too, right? But you put yourself in this movie for the right reason and a very courageous reason, which is really how you've revealed this extraordinary doping system in Russia that has eventually led to the main character in your film being in witness protection here in the United States. It's also revealed the depth of corruption in Russia all the way up to Putin, because the head of the Russian Sports Federation, Putin, after all of this stuff that you reveal in your film, which is just breathtakingly incriminating, this guy ends up as what, a deputy prime minister?
The deputy prime minister of Russia, which is essentially the vice president.
So, you know, I try to cover the Russian story, which is clearly making life difficult for Donald Trump. But I do, and I suspect this happens to you, get an extraordinary amount of hate mail. Now, a lot of it's generated by Russian troll farms. So when we get hacked all the time, and we have to do a lot of proactive stuff because they've targeted me, along with the people that I interview, like Masha Gessen and others who actually know about Russia and are Russians, and Nina Khrushcheva, the granddaughter of the former Soviet leader. So, you know, I like to talk to Russians about Russia. And I find it extraordinary that critics on the left in this country and people like Oliver Stone and the editors of The Nation magazine seem to be so blind and so subservient to Putin, but they don't seem to have any sense of solidarity with the Russian people, particularly these young Russians, teenagers, high school kids who are taken to the streets and getting beaten up by Putin's police. So I take it you're getting it criticized because of what the film reveals as being anti-Russian, in the same way that I'm getting criticized for simply covering what is pretty much the story of the day in terms of Trump and possible Russian collusion.
Yeah, there was a pretty big and inflammatory story in RT, the Russian Times, a couple days ago, talking about Grigory Rodchenkov as Dr. Death, and then it got into detail attacking me and that this was all about money and this was, you know, America's intention to defrock Russia and this is American propaganda, et cetera, et cetera. But personal attacks on myself and Grigory. And but it seems to be par for the course, essentially to deny and then to then try to attack someone on a personal level to try to discredit them, which is, I guess, not shocking, but in regards to even everything that I uncovered with the film and, you know, what is thousands of pieces of evidence, there has still been a blatant denial in Russia and still trying to pin this onto Grigory as an individual when this operation was a huge scandal of epic proportions that involved the participation of the FSB, the KGB, thousands of Russian athletes, and a system that had been in place, according to Grigory, essentially since the advent of steroids in the late 60s and throughout all of Olympic history.
And throughout Soviet history.
So, yes.
So let's talk about the film then in terms of you're the main character along with Dr. Grigory Rodchenkov, right?
Yes.
And you start out as an amateur bike racer, cyclist, right? but you want to enhance and improve your abilities, right? And you go to UCLA, you get turned down. So walk us through, because it seems like there's three parts of the movie. Your story, and then the introduction of the doctor, and then how he becomes the whistleblower, and how they come after him, and how they lie. The entire Russian system just lies in the most blatant way. And then eventually the whistleblower, Dr. Grigory Rodchenkov, ends up in witness protection where he is today.
You know, first off, the movie that I ended up making was not the movie that I set out to make. And the journey of this film really started 4 years ago and is still unfolding. So many of the ramifications of what is uncovered in the film still have not settled. There's still so many unanswered questions about it. But when I began the film, it came from really two places. One is my passion for cycling. I'd grown up racing bikes, and whenever I wasn't riding or doing, you know, entertainment projects, I took to the bike, and that's been my lifelong passion. And part of that was inevitably the discussion for many, many, many years among everybody I rode with. Did Lance dope? Did he not dope? Who's doping?
Lance Armstrong.
And it was this constant topic of conversation, but also in the media as well. And so, you know, he confesses in January 2013. And the amazing part behind this is the USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Agency, and WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, and various anti-doping agencies around the world and the sports world are, you know, basically heralding this spectacular success that they had finally caught Lance Armstrong. But they didn't catch Lance Armstrong, not how they were supposed to catch Lance Armstrong. To this day, Lance is still clean. He passed 500 anti-doping controls clean. So I'm going, wait, you didn't catch Lance Armstrong. This is like the equivalent of getting Al Capone on tax evasion. And not only that, the only way that they're finally able to catch Lance Armstrong is to get all of his teammates to rat him out, who did the exact same thing that he did, in exchange for their own immunity as part of a federal investigation into whether or not Lance Armstrong doped. So literally, there's a criminal investigation being launched into whether or not this guy's dopes, and the only way that they're able to get him, after science has failed miserably over 500 tests, is to get his teammates, who did the exact same thing as he did and didn't get caught, to rat him out. So I'm going, wait, wait, wait. What is wrong with this system? Not what is wrong with Lance Armstrong, because I'm going, hey, if I was Lance Armstrong and I understand the science and I understand what's at stake and I understand what winning means and I believe that everybody else is doing it, which it has now been made public and proven that everybody else of his generation was doing the same thing he was. Well, if I believed that I could win, well, why wouldn't I do that? So I was looking at this more of a perspective of what is wrong with the system, not as what is wrong with these athletes and what is wrong with Lance. And so I start talking to all these scientists, and every one of them, I say, does the anti-doping system work? And they go, no. I go, do you believe the anti-doping system will ever work? And they go, no. And I go, what's wrong with the anti-doping system? And that would launch into an hour conversation of 10,000 things. And then I would say, well, do you think it's possible for an athlete to essentially do what Lance did and still not be caught? And they would say, yes. And I said, would you be able to tell me how to do this and advise me? And they would generally say yes. And then I'd say, well, would you do this for me on camera? And they would say no. And after all these conversations with so many people, I got this idea that, hey, I was going to make this movie where I was going to turn myself into a human guinea pig, essentially supersize me it, but nobody had seen this. I was going to dope myself. I was incredibly curious as just on a personal level what these drugs, hormones would do for my cycling ability and what they would do for me. And behind that, I was going to explore the anti-doping system. And to me, the ramifications were so much bigger than cycling, which was, what does this mean for all of sport if the actual anti-doping system is an invalid? And that was the movie that I set out to make. And what transpired became a very, very different film.
And again, I'm joined in the studio by Brian Fogel, who, prior to directing his first documentary feature, co-wrote and starred in the hit international and off-Broadway play Jewtopia, and co-wrote and directed the feature film adaptation. He is the writer, director, and producer of the new film out tomorrow, Friday, on Netflix, Icarus. So the film goes from your, what you just explained to us, because what we're talking about here is how the systems, how you cheat the system. It's all about the science of cheating as opposed to the science, right?
Right.
And then walk us through the second section of the film, which is the Russian doctor.
So I set out on this journey, and the whole thing for me to be able to have success is I need an advisor, basically a scientist, and I need to get my samples into a WADA lab, a World Anti-Doping Agency lab. And there's 33 of these labs in the world, at least I think that's the number, it might be a couple more. And these labs essentially are in control of all of the testing for all international competition in sport that does drug testing. And these labs are very highly regulated and controlled, and so you can't just go get your sample tested through a lab, because if you could, right, and you could just get your samples into a lab, well, you could figure out where the fallacies in the system were. And so these labs are very closely monitored. And I get connected to Dr. Gregory Rodchenkov through Don Catlin, who is...
And he's the head of the Russian... What was his position?
Dr. Rodchenkov at the time is running the third largest WADA laboratory in the world. And he is the chief of this WADA lab. And this lab had overseen the testing for the Sochi Olympics, had overseen the testing of all...
It's in Russia, right?
Yeah, in Moscow.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's the Moscow laboratory. And this laboratory is one of the newest, most state-of-the-art laboratories in the world, because Russia poured, I don't know the dollar amount, tens of millions of dollars into this laboratory in preparation for the Sochi Olympics, and also, you know, for all the international competitions coming into Russia. And so this laboratory is the single lab that is doing the testing for all of Russian sport, all of Russian athletes, for the Sochi Olympics, and all international competitions that come into Russia, whether that's the swimming competitions or track and field competitions, right, or tennis, or
the upcoming World Cup.
Or upcoming World Cup. It's right. This laboratory that handles it, and Gregory is the head of this laboratory. And I connect with him, and he agrees to help advise me how to dope, what to take, when to take it, and also agrees that he'll help smuggle my urine back to his laboratory in Moscow for testing, to basically figure out a protocol for me of when I'll be clean, when I would test.
Which is clean is how you avoid the test.
Exactly.
That's what's so Orwellian about this whole thing, right? Again, it's the science of cheating as opposed to using science to cheat science. Is that how would you describe it?
I mean, that is a great analogy, and we certainly really latched onto Orwell in the film because everything of the story on so many levels is Orwellian. It's doublethink. It's using science to cheat science. It's pretending to be anti-doping, but you're really doping. It's saying you know, one thing, and you know, being the venom and the anti-venom. But
the net result is that all of the Russian athletes were doing it, right? And once this guy blew the whistle, he unraveled Sochi, he unraveled the entire Russian sports system, and people start dropping dead, right? I mean, this is serious business. This guy's in big jeopardy.
Yeah, it essentially, the information that he had and the system that he was involved in, you know, you have to remember that, like in the United States, sports is essentially a private enterprise. All of our teams are privately owned, you know, so if you own the Los Angeles Lakers or the Denver Broncos, they are privately held teams. In Russia, all of sports is under the ministry, meaning it is a government operation, and the government oversees sports. And the Russian athletes essentially are employees of the government. So it's a very, very different system how it works there. And so Grigory was overseeing essentially the doping control for all of Russian sport. And according to him, essentially, there was no anti-doping in Russia. The entire system was put up as a front to make it look like there was anti-doping, but everything that was going on at the laboratory level and the science level was to evade positive detection and to advise the Russian athletes how to do that, and if they were indeed positive, to conceal their results. And that goes into a much more elaborate discussion. But the bottom line of it is that this guy was essentially, as he says, the mastermind, the overseer of the entire Russian sports system in regards to whether or not an athlete would test positive and clean. Right. And
whole,
advising
a whole
that
system
athlete.
Based on cheating. That's the bottom line.
The entire system based on cheating.
Performance enhancement that you disguise. So it's not a level playing field, because the whole point of trying to get rid of doping is to say that everybody's on a level playing field. But if you've got steroids and other whatever these sophisticated treatments are, you have an unfair advantage. That's at the heart of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's
unsportsmanlike conduct, I believe, is
yeah. There's a deeper conversation, I think, you know, where you look at like the doping or anti-doping or the right. level playing field of it, right. And so there's the game which you can say that everybody is playing, which is the game of science, which is okay. There's a new product coming on the market. I read yesterday that some athlete, some cyclist just tested positive for some drug. I don't remember the name of it, but apparently it treats liver disease, but it's been found to, you know, enhance performance. I don't know the details behind this. And this drug was not on the banned substance list until just like yesterday kind of thing. Right. And so there's the constant, you know, cat and mouse game of what's on the list, what's not on the list, what you can take, when you can take it, how fast it clears your body. And that's never going to change. Right. And that is, I think, part of the system. Then there is just the outright criminal fraud. And there's a difference between those two. So you can make the argument of a quote-unquote level playing field if you're evading science and kind of doing the Lance Armstrong of it, which is, well, everybody else is doing it and I'm doing it and we're all, you know, manipulating the system, versus what Russia put into place after the London Olympics really had nothing to do with science. What they started doing was literally having their athletes just dope through competition, because they had figured out how to break in to these urine collection bottles. The FSB developed a technique that they were able to break into these impenetrable bottles developed through a Swiss company that are basically the bank vault of the anti-doping system. And they figure out how to break into these bottles.
The collection samples. And the FSB, of course, being the successor agency to the KGB.
Yes.
So just in the last couple of minutes then, there were a number of Russians, apparently seniors, FSB, former KGB guys, including Ivanov, Putin's chief of staff, who clearly told him that meddling in the American elections was a dangerous thing to do, and you may suffer blowback. And he's clearly suffering blowback now. But people did die. A bunch of senior KGB guys have died mysteriously. The same thing's happening in your story. And let's get to the ending here, because we're running out of time. But because the last third of the movie is just breathtaking. It is so amazing to see these brazen lies, just a blizzard of lies, and to see the really bad people promoted as now the deputy prime minister, Putin's number two guy, his vice president. It's unbelievable.
It's everything that happened in the fallout of this story, from literally Richard McLaren releases this report in July, and every anti-doping agency in the world and most sporting federations in the world are calling for Russia to be banned from the Rio Games. And then Thomas Bach, who is a well-known, very close friend of Putin, essentially passed the buck to the federations and didn't ban Russia from Rio, despite, you know, this spectacular evidence. I mean, literally, it was like uncovering Auschwitz and then the IOC turning the other way and going, this isn't our responsibility to take action against it. To seeing the Russian reaction to this, which is to deny, to deny, to deny. And then to see this Orwellian system in place where the little guy is pushed under the bus. The main guy that Gregory is answering to, Nagornov, is forced to resign and he's under criminal investigation. Where the guy who Nagornov is answering to, Mutko, who's the sports minister who Gregory was also in communication with, is elevated to essentially the vice president of Russia to get out of harm's way. To Putin sitting on state television, despite Gregory having dominated Russian news for the last year, the audacity to go on state television and go, I don't even remember this guy's name. I don't even remember the lab director's name. Yet this man has been on front pages of Russian media for the last year. And to then have a president say he doesn't even remember his name, it speaks to this just scary moment in history. And we're seeing this reflected in our own country right now, which is shocking, which I could have never imagined as I went into this film, what the current political situation would be, and that we're finding ourselves back in this Cold War era.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us. I wish we had more time, Brian Fogel, but your film opens Friday, tomorrow on Netflix, Icarus. And again, I've been joined in the studio by Brian Fogel, who prior to directing his first documentary feature film, co-wrote and starred in the hit international and off-Broadway play, Zootopia, and co-wrote and directed the feature film, Adaptation. And he's the writer, director, and producer of the new film, out tomorrow, Friday, on Netflix, Icarus. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.